Tune in for an exclusive and permanent deal just for you. Get ready to immerse yourself in nature with an ongoing offer of 20% off all Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds, exclusively designed for our valued podcast listeners. When you head over to homegrowncannabisco.com and use code COUGH20 at checkout, that's COUGH20. It's time to embrace the power of nature and embark on a growing experience like no other. Welcome everybody to episode 2 of season 2 of Grow Weed at Home with Kyle Cushman. Gwah! Can you believe we're here? I can't believe I'm here. Just drove over 2 hours in this pouring rain. I got out of bed and I shaved and I like did my hair and didn't kill myself on the ride out here. And then find out when I get out here, we had a wonderful guest all planned out. And let's just say that you should be careful what you say to journalists sometimes. And so that guest will be available at a later date. And then the wonderful man behind the whole scenario here, Mr. Hammer behind the camera there, he had a backup guest, of course, because he's extremely diligent. And then guess what happens? Power outage. Fucking power outage in Humboldt. So that's not happening. So me being the consummate professional, you know, I knocked on my head a little bit and I came up with something to talk about. And, you know, I got this nice green bowl here. You know why? Because I have not gotten stoned yet today. You know why? Because I love all of you so much that I want to make sure that I get all of this information out before I start humming a hine. And it's really important because I kind of got to go linear. Got to start at the beginning before I start telling y'all about all the crazy happy new stuff. We're talking about large versus small container farming. As you've probably noticed, I am doing a grow on Instagram, my winter grow, and I'm using 25-gallon pots. Got 8 of them in a 10x10. They fit perfectly. And some of the people out there are commenting. I'll repeat one of them. I think it's very funny. You organic growers and your big pots. A bunch of smiley emojis and shit, laughing emojis and stuff. And other people are curious. And so I understand, believe me, in my 30 plus years of growing, I've flowered out plants in 1 gallons, 3 gallons, 5 gallons, 7s, 10s, 12s, 15s, 20s, 25s, beds, hydroculture, aquaponics, deep culture. Yeah, I've done it all. So I thought I wanted to get in specifically container farming in soil or, you know, soilless, which is usually what we use for organic farming, right? And so today, most people really use smaller containers. And there's a lot of good reasons behind using smaller containers. You're not wasting any media. You can grow more plants. And the main reason is it's more forgiving because you have to water a lot more often. So that gives you a chance to correct or observe as you go along. A 1 gallon pot is going to need to get watered every other day or every couple of days for sure, whereas a big 15 or 20 gallon pot, when you initially put them in, might not get watered for a week. So you don't get to make a decision when you realize you didn't put enough food in there and they're starting to go a little bit yellow, or your organic amendments that you put in are not heated up yet and they're not releasing their nutrients yet. So small pots are convenient in the following ways. You can grow a lot more plants in the space, so that gives you options to grow more varieties or to have more plants. You generally can get to a state where you want to flower more quickly in a small plant, in a small pot. Some people flower in a week or so, whereas I waited 9 weeks, 8 or 9 weeks. Now, so what are some of the reasons for growing in a larger pot? some of the most important reasons in my view for growing in a larger pot is ease of maintenance. I like to be able to leave my tent grow alone for several days at a time and leave it on automation, almost like I have a reservoir running. And I'm confident in what I'm feeding. I'm confident in what's in my soil, and I know how to read the plants. So I load it up with what it likes, and then I observe it over the, I tell you, I'm watering every second or third day now in these 25-gallon pots. It was 4 or 5 days for a while. And now it's every second or third day. They're drinking over a gallon a day, every plant. So that's I'm up to 63 gallons a week. And so if I was in small pots and I had the rate of photosynthesis cranked up so much, I'd be watering every day. And see, this is the thing. If I filled that up with small pots and I had 30 or 40 plants in there, there is almost virtually no chance that I would be able to maximize my watering cycle and water all of them at one time. There's no way, even if I had the same strain, there'd be some stragglers and I'd have to make up water every day. And with the larger pots, it's a lot easier to stretch one or two plants for another day or a day and a half, and then water the whole room together or three quarters of the room together and throw down 12, 15, 18 gallons in one shot. So that's why I do that, you know? So let's shoot back again real quick towards the smaller pots, you know? Smaller pots are going to require a different style of feeding, for example, you know? I don't know if you followed me last time. I kept my mother's alive in just 3 gallon pots for 90 days. And you have to, if you're going to do anything like that, you really have to be careful about the buildup and the feeding and a little bit of plain water here and there. And same thing in a small pot. If you're watering with food every day, every other day, for 2 months, 2.5 months, you're going to have to fit in plain waterings in there. I have the luxury of having all this extra volume of soil. And if my root zone gets a little bit hot, the EC gets a little bit much in there, they just send out roots elsewhere and look where it's not quite so hot. So I can keep feeding these big, large pots virtually through to the end without maybe one rinse during veg and one rinse. I'm coming up on, after I finish my 4th week, I'm going to give them a plain water, maybe with some micros. But I've been pumping and pumping and pumping, and I can do that because I have this large volume of soil. Again, just to kind of, to sum it all up, smaller pots are much easier to maintain. They're easier to know when you need to water them because you can pick them up. They're easier to remedy situations because you get to water more often. Often. Is it often or often?
It's off 10.
And so, you know, one isn't really literally better than the other. You can make one style better, work better than the other for you. I have no doubt that for me, taking care of 8 plants that are 4 to 6 feet tall in a 7-foot tent is way easier for me than taking care of any other number. I mean, just cut the pot size in half and let's say I had 15 plants. So now, again, what are the chances I'm going to get to water all 15 plants in one day or even in 2 days? I'm going to be in 3 days. And then by the time I get to the 3rd day, I have to water again. So I'm watering every single day. Every day I have to go in the garden and assess and pick up pots and decide it's time to water today. And then I got to make up a batch for the grapes and I got to make up a batch for the sativas and I got to make up a batch for the 10-week strawberry cough. That's not where I'm at. So, and I think there's so one more time, back to the large containers, you know, so maintaining the large containers is something that takes a little bit of skill and a little bit more practice. Because when I take that plant, even though it's a good foot tall, you know, maybe a good fat foot tall, I'm not watering 20 gallons of media. I'm not saturating 20 gallons of media the first time that you transplant and put that water in there. It's maybe a 3 watering cycle before you actually saturate all the media. And that's really important because you've got to get those roots searching. And if you overwater in a large volume of soil, you'll get that root ball will just sit there, that original root ball, and they'll kind of stunt. So you have to learn how to slowly increase the volume of water. I think the first time that I put them in the 20-gallon pots, by the way, I didn't fill it up all the way. I filled it up 3/4. So they're more like 15 gallons of soil. The first time, I think I gave them a gallon, maybe a gallon and a half. And the second time, I gave them a half a gallon more. And the third time, I gave them like 2.5 gallons. And I stuck with 2.5 gallons. I didn't get any runoff, is what I'm saying, until my third or fourth watering. And then I found that 3 gallons was the perfect amount for that volume of soil to get a little drip, drip, drip. So I didn't have to move them and empty all the drip trays all the time. You don't need runoff when you're not putting any salts into your media. And so now I'm feeding 3 gallons a cycle, 3 gallons a pot, whenever they need it, every third or fourth day, depending on the strain. And I can manage that through to the end. So there's your dissertation on small pots versus large. Just curious, how many minutes was that?
You're at 12:03.
That's pretty good. Do you have any questions, sir?
Yeah, when's it going to stop fucking raining?
Not for days.
I feel like I'm in England.
Not for days.
Not for days. Brilliant.
But you know what? We really need it, and so that we don't have to be in a water drought. All right, so let me just ponder for a moment and see. Maybe I can hit my bowl now that I've gotten out all of this. Let me just think from the beginning. So let me expound a little bit more. People like specifics. So my ultimate growing technique for ease of operation, that's an army term I learned, ease of operation. It's a good way to live your life, is start off in cubes or cuts or whatever and put those into a nice mesh bottom 1 gallon. Sometimes they call them half gallon. They're about 6 inches pot. And water that 3 or 4 times. You know, get the roots coming out the bottom really strong. Everything's going to depend on the amount of light that you can provide without stressing your plants. The more light you can give them, the more intensity, the more water you can give them, the more you pump up that rate of photosynthesis. And then you go from the 1 gallon to a 3 or a 5. Probably a 3 is best. The idea when you transplant is you want to transplant to at least 2 to 3 times the volume of soil, okay? Because otherwise it's just not worth it. The stress is just not worth the stretch that you're giving the legs of the plant to go out. So you go from that 1 to the 3.5s and then, or a 5, and then into your finished home, you know? Or you could go right from that 1 into a 5, and that, I usually only transplant once. Plant into your initial planting, and then transplant into your final home. This time I went for 25 gallon pots. I did 2 transplants. But really you should be able to go from your first pot to your second pot, maybe do a initial soak before you fill the whole volume. And that's what I would call the best kind of container gardening. Solid plastic, fabric. A lot of people constantly ask me why I never switched to fabric. One reason is that if you looked at the bottom of my pots, you'd see that there are dozens, maybe 40 or 50 holes drilled in the bottom of each one. So there is zero standing water and there's more oxygen, of course. I used to take the time sometimes to drill holes around the outside a couple of inches up too. As long as you're cycling and they're not out in the hot sun, what I'm giving up when I pick up those early plants, because that's how I judge when I water, I'm always feeling like with the fabric pots that I'm messing with the root structure a little bit, that those fine little hairs, they're moving around in that movable fabric pot. So I prefer the blow molds with extra air holes. But if you like the blow mold, the fabrics, that's good as well. I also kind of hate how they leak sometimes. I like to take 2 gallons of water. I leave about 3 inches on the top of the pot so that water can just slowly sink in. And you get that, it's called surfaction. And it's where you see the bubbles coming up. And it's actually sucking oxygen down into the media as the water is going down. The only time water gets down into the center of a pot is when you water. So when you water really slow and really gentle, sure, you're not busting up any of the top little fine roots a little bit, but you don't get that surfaction, that heavy duty. Every time a bubble makes, just a big, it's just sucking down all that water. And then after those 2 gallons go down, I put in that last gallon, and I just watered 3 gallons, and it took me less than a minute, minute and a half.
I can't get no surfaction.
Right? And sometimes the, you know, those aero pots or the mesh fabric pots, if you water that fast, half of it's going to leak out the side. So you have no choice but to water slowly. So maybe it's a wash. So if you water slowly, you don't get as much oxygen. When you're watering, you don't get the surfaction, but you get more oxygen from the sides. So, hey, as many ways to grow as there are people who grow weed. Have at it. That's what I say.
Do you get a lot of satisfaction from surfaction?
I get satisfaction from surfaction.
Are you satisfied?
I get my surfaction satisfaction. Every day, I do get my surfaction satisfaction.
That was bad. That's a good one. How have we come so far without mentioning the word surfaction?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, look that one up. Surfaction. It really it's a good way to get extra oxygen down into your volume of soil. Always liven up your water. You know, that's why you always aerate your water. You've got dead water. That's why when you're out in the wild and you need to find water, you don't drink water from a still pond. You know, you can drink water. They say if water is run 7 miles, it's completely clean. It's run over the rocks and it's all filtered and everything. So liven your water before you give it to your plants. Let it set, come to an ambient temperature. It's best not to water every single time with 55 degree water. It's cold, man. It slows down the photosynthesis until they come back up to that nice 65 degrees and they start chilling like they're in the tropics again. So draw your water, aerate your water. And grow big fucking plants at home, man. Quah!
Let me ask you something. So if water runs for 7 miles, it's clean because it's been filtered across all the rocks. Mm-hmm. So what if on mile 6, it goes over like a dead carcass? Is it still filtered in that last mile, or does it have to go another 7 after that? I just don't want to give people the wrong information about drinking water.
People don't come to me for camping advice. It's never happened. Are you ready to take your cannabis cultivation game to the next level? Well, hold on to your buds because we have an amazing offer just for you. Are you familiar with Strawberry Cough? This legendary strain has delighted cannabis enthusiasts worldwide with its mouthwatering flavor and uplifting effects. Lineage? Sure, let's dive into it. Strawberry Cough is a delicious cross between Strawberry Fields and Haze. Its distinct strawberry aroma and sweet taste make it a favorite among connoisseurs. Now, here's the exciting news. We're offering a fantastic deal on Strawberry Cough feminized cannabis seeds. You'll receive 20% off your purchase on any pack size of these seeds when you use code COUGH20. That's COUGH20. That's COUGH20 at homegrowncannabisco.com. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to grow your own Strawberry Cough. Whether you're a seasoned cultivator or a newbie looking to explore the world of marijuana horticulture, these feminized seeds will set you on the path to aromatic success. Visit homegrowncannabisco.com today and select from their wide range of premium cannabis seeds, and maybe take advantage of 20% off your Strawberry Cough seeds when using code COUGH20. Happy growing, folks. Get ready to savor the tantalizing flavors and uplifting effects of Strawberry Cough, a strain that deserves a spot in every cannabis enthusiast's garden. Check out homegrowncannabisco.com now and seize this offer before it's gone. You want to hear something really fucking hilarious?
Yeah.
So yesterday, I'm getting out of the car at the shopping center, and I got my bowl here, and I'm taking the last hit. I like to take and blow out the ash so I can, so it's not, and I blow the cherry out on the ground, and I hear, "Toke that thing up, man. Yeah, hit that thing hard." And I look up, and there's this cool, it's a woman. She's got some, she's like, "Yeah, cool." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And I get out of the car, I close the door, and I turn around, and there's this guy standing behind me, and he's got this raw cone, you know, the piece of cone in the end, and it's kind of broken over, and it's a roach. And he's looking, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Hey, man, he's, how, this is, what is this?" So I says, "Looks like a roach." He says, "Well, how did this get in my car?" And he looks over across, and there's his car with the door open, some black Audi or something, you know. And I look over, and I go, "I don't know. I'm trying to help the guy." I'm literally, he's like speaking, I'm like, my radar is up, and I'm like, you know, see, you know, what's going to go on? But I'm like, really being that. I'm like, "I don't know. How long have you had the car?" I've had the car for a long time, and I don't smoke. He says, "Who's been in my car?" I don't know who's been in your car. It wasn't me. And I'm literally not being sarcastic with this guy. I'm really, he's really looking at me like with these eyes, like it was almost like he smelled the pot. He heard somebody say something. It was this timing where he's like, "Oh, you're a pot guy. Can you help me?" And I was like, "Sure. What can I do for you?" And he's like, "Well, what should I do?" I said, "That's garbage, man. Just throw it away." He's like, "Oh." I said, "It's California, man. Nobody cares." And he smiled, and he went away. And I walked in the store, and I was like, "What the fuck was that? What the fuck was that?"
I feel high from listening to
that
story.
What the fuck was that? Oh my god. Okay. This is not my first toke of the day. I did have a toke in like right when I woke up, but that's hair of the dog. That doesn't count. So I'm going to take a toke right now. And I do want to send it out to our fallen brethren. And I try to name some. And there's no way to name all of them. But I'm feeling sub. I'm always feeling sub. Because he's my brother from another mother plant. And so sub, just so happens this is doggone sour in this pipe right here. So here you go. Everybody toke up tough. It's my road bowl. I remind you, I come out here because I love y'all. Drove through the rain to give y'all this show. I could have said, "Oh, we don't have a guest. I'm just not going to come today." But no, not going to do that. Not going to do that to my man, Nate. I'm not going to do that to you. And I'm not going to do that to people like Sub, who used to get on the camera just about every single day of their lives, smoke a bowl with their weed nerds and give advice. So a little bit of coffee and there you go. So what else we got on deck, my man? You know, I'm trying to think of more juicy information about, you know, one good thing, I always look for those mesh bottom pots because you can't drill holes in the really small ones because they don't have the rigidity and they'll just crack. So they sell mesh bottom 6-inch pots. They're great. I believe they're from Hydrofarm. The square farmers are really good too because they've got built-in legs and lots of air holes all through them. So look for air holes. You know, you want to encourage the root growth. So start off in an appropriate size pot. Don't think, no matter how good you are, you're going to take a clone and throw it in a 5 or a 10 or a 15-gallon pat. That's a nightmare. Nobody wants to attempt that. It was almost 2 weeks in a 1 gallon. Then it was another, 2-3 weeks, maybe 3 or 4 weeks in a 5 gallon. And then it was another 3 weeks in the 20 gallon. So that I got legs everywhere to make it, to justify having all that media in between. And then if you're going to use large, well, it really doesn't matter, large or small. The trick is cycling. They call it drybacks now. Drybacks, cycling. What that means is going from complete wet to complete dry. You don't want to water your plants every day when you're in soil. it's best to saturate the media, get some runoff, know how much volume that is so that you can do it on a regular basis, and then let the media dry from the outsides in. And you'll see the soil will start to pull away from the inside of the pot and the color will change. And you can always give a little proctology exam. You can use a moisture probe if you need to, but the best way is picking it up. And even though I got 20s, I get in there and I get my knees and I put my elbows on my knees and I lift those 20 gallons up. And I know that if I have to put a lot of effort into them, it's not ready yet. And the day that I just kind of go, oh yeah, I can lift that, that's water day. So the best way for me to cycle is observation and feel. But use sticking a finger in the bottom of the pot. If you feel you need a moisture probe, use a moisture probe. But don't rely as a beginner on thinking you're going to be able to cycle out of the blue. You have to use some kind of technique and get good at feeling the weight of the plants and be consistent about how much water. Like it was like, for me, when I plant my clones, it was only 400 milliliters. 400 milliliters. They all got 400 milliliters. And then I'll move up to 700 milliliters. And that'll give me my couple of drips into my drip tray. So
I can't do that technique because even a 100-gallon pot feels light to me.
Yeah, he's a monster. I just call him Grape Ape.
Call me Lenny.
Call me Lenny.
Of mice and men.
So drybacks, cycling, whatever you call it, is really, really important. And especially in the veg cycle. In the veg cycle, it is almost advantageous, only at the point of learning where that point is, to just let the tip of that plant start to wilt just a little bit before you do any damage, before you get so dry that the cuticles of the actual roots dry out, dry back, and you damage roots, but just learning how far you can go. And then repeating that through veg. And every time you transplant into a larger, really getting good, getting really light, not wilting any time, you've already done that once, and just really getting it really dry so that you make them put out legs. You want legs. You don't just want roots. You want the crosshairs. And they only do that when they got to search. So we've got watering in. Watering is the key to making the most out of your pot size, whether it's small or whether it's big. And I think moderation is a good thing to start out. Don't go too small and don't go too big. Because too small, you're going to end up either overwatering or underwatering. A moderate, go moderate. If you don't flower in a 1 gallon, flower in a 3 gallon. You know? There's many ways to grow. If there are people who grow, that's the great thing. Honestly, I could grow out of this couch cushion if I had to. Probably wouldn't work real well with organics. I'd have to use synthetics. So I'm not going to be growing out of a couch cushion anytime soon. I'm just saying they're plants and they are weeds and they want to grow. You let them do the heavy lifting and they'll do it for you. So, well, here we are. It's a lovely day, my peep. And hey, man, grow big. I say grow big. Step it up each time, but then get to that point where you know how to fill your space with fewer plants. That way I need to take less clones. I need less space. I just took 15 clones. They all rooted. I've got my 4 strains. I got 3 or 4 of each. I'm going to keep the best 2, and I'm going to give away a couple more. I just haven't figured out how I want to do that yet. If I want to do another lunch with Cushman or a charity raffle or something. I know there's some people out there that are pretty willing to cough up to get some of those strawberry coughs and starberry coughs and that amazing looking Cherry Lopez. Yeah! Yagua! Yagua, man!
Yagua. That could be the next one. Yagua.
So let me just say, boy, man, we got some really killer guests coming up this year. People have been calling us. We've been calling people. And, keep all of those, keep the content coming in, the content suggestion ideas and guest suggestion ideas. I keep them up. We're talking about it. And that really helps. It's the interactivity that I really like. Here we are, 2024. We're almost a quarter way through another frickin' century. Wow.
I can't do another century.
I'm glad I don't have to do another century. Responsibility is easy when you only live to 75. Think about what you'd be like if you had to live to be 150 or 250 years old. If you had to live on this earth for 250 years, I bet you'd be a lot nicer to people. It's weird, huh?
Why,
right?
The world gets smaller the older you get.
Well, because you can't run for 250 years. You know, you know, you're like, I'm going to be here a long time. I better watch. I can't watch my ass for two. People are like, I can watch my ass for 20 years. No big deal. I'll fuck around, do whatever the fuck I want. I'll just keep my swivel. Think about that if you had to keep your head on a swivel for 250 years. I bet you'd be a little bit nicer. Anyways, that's how I look at things. I always kind of look at things from the back end. I think life is short. I don't think life is long. I mean, I think life is long. I don't think life is short, because I like to think that it's important that, you know, you take certain things seriously, like being nice to people and teaching people what you know. And, you know, you don't always want to be the smartest person in the room. You know, that's, you want to surround yourself with smart people of all types and keep your ears open. It's a good thing you can't close your ears like you can close your eyes, because then we'd really have stupid people. Could you imagine if at will you could just, like, you can close your eyes, if you could just close your ears? I mean, it's one thing to say I'm not listening and I'm not paying attention, but you really can't close your ears. Man, we would have some real dumb fucks walking around if we had the ability to just close our ears. See, I got a weird way of looking at things, but, you know.
My wife accuses me of tuning her out all the time.
Yeah. Imagine if you actually literally could. Like, see?
Good job she doesn't watch this podcast.
Yeah, I know. That's how I felt about, you know, my mate some of these times. All right. So, wow. I pretty much gotten in everything to say about container sizes and watering. We meandered a little bit and, oh.
Tiles.
Yeah, we didn't do a Kyle's Tiles today. You want to do?
Let's do Kyle's Tiles. It's only episode 2, but yeah, we want to be consistent with it.
All right. So I'm going to do the old boop, 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 and cue the music.
All right.
Dum, 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 dum. Wah! Ha-ha! What do you know? It's the Santa Rosa Peace and Harmony Festival, Santa Rosa, California. Man, what a beautiful place. That was Peace and Medicine. I was, it was like around 2007, 2008. And I was donating my cannabis to a dispensary in Sebastopol called Peace and Medicine, which at the time was owned by Robert Jacobs. Robert Jacobs was the mayor of Sebastopol. He was the only mayor in America that owned a dispensary. Cool fucking dude. Oh, and I also remember, so one day I go in to bring my wares, and I sat down with the product manager, and he's like, hey, he's like, man, I'm really glad you're here. He's like, one of the other managers, he says, you know, so-and-so, he quit smoking. You're not going to believe it. And I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah, he quit smoking since you started bringing your weed in. He's like, your veganic weed is so much better than all the others that I'm just going to take my cleanse when I don't have any. And so he's going to be really happy you're here. Yeah, those were the back in that day. A dispensary manager quit smoking because the veganic weed was just so smooth and clean. Yeah, those days. I was hanging out with Matt Rise back in those days. He was living in Santa Rosa. I was donating time at the Learning Annex in Peace and Medicine. And I was donating extra flowers. But man, back in those days, they had low cost and no cost medicine, you know, buds, shake, that they would give to people that had no money, that had a cannabis, that were adults. And I used to donate my leftovers and stuff. What a day. Oh, it's a long time. Man, that's been almost 20 years. That's like 17 years ago. Oh my God, I must be getting gray. Don't matter. I'm going to grow until the day I die, and hopefully so are you. Quah! Well, I just really want to thank you, everybody, for being with me. Take another toke. Because I know y'all are smoking during the show. Thank you for being with me. We got another great episode coming, so make sure you tune in. We got a lot of great guests. Oh, that was a burp. On that note, thank you, everybody, and don't forget to gua.